Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. This holiday season is always about remembering family, and that is it's bittersweet, but it helps us to remember how to live our lives. Hold tight to the sound of the music of living, happy songs of the laughter of children at play. Take my hand as we run through the sweet, fragrant meadows, making memories of what was today. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come. We have this moment today. The voice that I hear is a little girl calling for her daddy to hear just what she has to say. That little boy running there by the hillside will never be quite like today. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come. We have this moment today. Tender words, a gentle touch, and a good cup of coffee, and someone who loves me and wants me to stay. We'll hold them near while they're here and don't wait for tomorrow to look back and wish for today. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come. We have this moment today. Take the blue of the skies and the green of the forest and the golds and the browns of the freshly mown hay. Take the pale shades of spring and the circus of autumn and weave you a lovely today. Sing with me. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. Moment today. Great singing. Thank you. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Thessalonians. People that were in a town called Thessalonica, where a group of Christians, people came to Christ when the Apostle Paul went through that town. It was quite an ordeal. We read about it in Acts chapter 17, but he wrote them two letters. The first, of course, is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You know, it occurred to me this week, all I ever do is talk. I talk all the time. And that's a good thing because I was born talking. It used to drive my mom and dad nuts. You see, because I tell you, I've got the rich older brother, Mr. Accomplishment, and then I've got the cute and brilliant younger brother. I had to talk just to get attention. You know, sometimes it's just too much. Let's hear about the pastor. They had called a new pastor to a church, and he was just so boring. Just so irrelevant and so boring, just wearing everybody out. And he went on and on and on. And, you know, the head deacon pulled on his coat and said, hey, come on, you know. And he just kind of waved him off and kept going. And, oh, everybody's enduring it. And so they wrote him a note and handed it to him. You know, they handed this note up to him. And he looked back at him and threw it away. He kept going. So, you know, the head deacon didn't know what to do, and he had found up in the furniture on the platform a gavel from having their business meetings. And so he aimed, and he threw it, but he missed the preacher. And he hit this little old man in the front row right between the eyes. And as the old man was going down, he said, hit me again, I can still hear him. Sometimes you just feel like that, you know? Oh, hit me again, please. So I'm trying not to do that to you today, okay? We're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Hit me again, will you? Like I said, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just seeing if you're following me, you know? Just want to see if you're in there. Beginning at verse 16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Did you get that? Give thanks in all circumstances? All? By the way, that word all in the Greek means all, okay? All circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies, that is the scriptures, with contempt. Test everything. Hold to what is good. Avoid every kind of evil. And then he makes this statement in verse 23. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Okay, I'm going to read verse 23 one more time. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. That's a strange-sounding word, isn't it? Sanctify. We'll read that in the Bible. Sanctify. You turn on the radio late at night, and you're going to hear some holiness preacher talking about being sanctified. You've heard him on that. You've heard him on the radio. Sanctified, holy. What in the world does this word mean? Well, there's some people believe that this word sanctify means to be made perfect right now, complete. Some Christians believe you can have this experience after you come to Christ as your Savior. You have this experience with the Holy Spirit to where you're not going to sin anymore. And I was sitting next to a pastor last month when I hosted our local pastor's luncheon. We were at the Lion's Den, and I had this pastor sitting next to me, and he said he believed that he was perfect. And we've had conversations about this before with other pastors. I looked at him and said, oh, bull. I said, well, I couldn't abide it anymore. Follow him around. Just follow him around. I tell you, we are all struggling. It doesn't mean that, because nobody is there. Nobody has arrived. It was the Apostle Paul who looked at himself, and you have times like this too, where the light kind of comes on, and Paul said, wretched man that I am, not that I was, that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Man, what's wrong with me? Do you have those kind of times with yourself? I have them with me. I'm sure you have them with you. The word sanctify means simply this when you see it in the Bible. It means to be set apart for God. To be set apart, to be set aside for Him. And it's the whole idea that God continues this work in each of our lives to remove the things that are hurtful and wrong, to pull them out of our lives. You'll notice in the beginning of the section, when I started reading in verse 16, there's this long list of stuff to watch out for and not do, and all of us need to be paying attention to that. But we have to realize who actually does this work in our lives. God does. It's a beautiful thing. So let me put it to you this way. When you received Jesus as your Savior, you received all of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet, you hear people talk about, I'm just praying through. I'm just getting a hold of God. You don't have to get a hold of God. We've got His complete attention. I don't get that whole idea. That somehow we're going to pray really hard. That means we're going to get God's attention because we got to yell, you know, like the little boy. You've seen, I love little kids that their mothers have learned to ignore them. Mom, 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 mom. So finally the mother goes, what? And then the kid can't remember what he was going to say because he was shocked that she's paying attention. We do God, 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 oh, God, God, God. And if we do this long enough and we crawl on our knees and we do enough, I don't know, enough Hail Marys or something, somehow I'm going to get his attention. You have all of God and you have all of God's attention. Here's the problem. You are the Lord's, but He doesn't have all of me and He doesn't have all of you yet. That takes a lifetime. And He's working in our lives. We're pretty messed up people. We might dress up pretty. I was looking so pretty at Pauline's funeral, I'm telling you what. I wore a suit. Shocked half of you. They said, now that's what a preacher is supposed to look like. I'm telling you, I had it going on. That's all I can tell you. No, we can all dress up. You know, you can put a ribbon on a pig, but he's still going to go wallow in the mud. You know what I mean? We still struggle. But here's the problem is that we don't have all of God. The problem is, even though we are His, even though we are His forever, He doesn't have all of us yet. There are compartments in our life that we've been keeping away from Him for our whole lives. And He gently and lovingly walks us through it. He's involved in this great, great work in our lives. Catherine had something on her Facebook post. It's beautiful. It says, Satan loves to take what is beautiful and ruin it. But God loves to take what is ruined and make it beautiful. Remember that song, Something Beautiful, Something Good. All my confusion He understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife. But He made something beautiful of my life. That's what He does. He's doing that in each of our lives. You know, I'm not as bad as I used to be, but I'm still not too great. I have a long way to go. I've been doing this for 40 some years, guys, and I'm the preacher. You think I'd have it all together by now? I don't. And I'm not going to tell you the details because I need this job. I'm only kidding. Yeah, Debbie will. You're right. Debbie will. Now listen, in this portion that we're looking at, we learn some things about God right away. Okay? There's some things stated about the Lord that you just need to know. Are you right? Who's going to do this great work in our lives? Who is doing this great work in our lives? I want you to see it. It's very simply this. May God Himself. Do you understand that God doesn't farm you out to anybody? I mean, of course, the angels of God are ministering spirits to all of God's people. But they're not the ones doing the work. They just kind of help things out. God Himself deals with you. And God is infinite and eternal. And what that means is He can take care of each of us and be involved with each Christian alive on earth today and in heaven today, one-on-one, never break a sweat. He is awesome. That means you're not farmed out. It's not like when you go, oh, you know, there's an investment guy on the radio, on the Christian radio station, and if you call, you'll get a personal, evaluation with me. And then you get a personal evaluation with him, and then he's got 82 other people that work for him, and he farms you out, right? He's the personality driving the thing, but he farms you out to everybody because he's only one person. He can't do it all, right? Well, God can do it all. Now, let me tell you something. There was this big event in downtown Detroit yesterday of the beautification of an old priest that supposedly be a saint. And can I just say something? The whole idea of talking to dead Christians and asking them for their help, can you show me that? It's invented. And God doesn't need anybody's help, okay? It's just a pagan idea that infiltrated the church. And this whole idea of drawing us away from God to talk to dead Christians that we call saints. By the way, you know who saints are in the Bible? Anyone who has believed in Jesus Christ. We are all saints. And it's a strange idea. God doesn't farm you out to some saint somewhere. God himself, I mean, he is going to do this for you. Do you know how badly he longs for you to trust him and for you to know him better? He's done all of this so you can. He himself. To me, that's a beautiful statement. May God himself, and then there's a description also of him, the God of peace. Do you want to know why he's doing this work in your life? He's doing it because he is the God of peace, and he wants you to have his peace in your life, in your relationships, in your day-to-day work, everywhere. He's the God of peace. His goal is for us to have the wrong things in our lives worked through and removed so we can experience his peace in every area. He gently and lovingly helps us see how messed up we really are and helps us stop the destructive behavior. See, he's not hasty either, and he's not mean-spirited. He's loving and he's gentle and he's the God of peace. I drive Debbie nuts. I mean, you want to know when the real you comes out for a guy is when we're driving. This morning, I'm pulling up to a Green Arrow and two cars ahead of me, there's a guy in a Suburban texting and half of the left Green Arrow is gone and he's not moving. So I said something like, another idiot, okay? Tack, tack, you know? And Debbie says, on your way to church, nice. I mean, our impatience and all of that stuff. It's nice to kind of do a honk, honk, hello, you know, maybe. Well, I mean, just, you know, it's interesting, isn't it? That's not the God of peace running all that, right? God works on us. And as he's doing this great work of sanctifying us, that means making us set apart better, right? We're better for him. There's some things that he uses. I want to just simply give you these. First of all, he uses his revelation, okay? It's very simple. Jesus was talking about this in John chapter 17 and uses the word sanctify again and says, he's talking to the Father about us. Sanctify them by your truth, John 17, 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. You know, what God is going to use in your life is the scriptures. We don't have to wonder about what he thinks about stuff. He has revealed himself to us in the Bible, and it's pretty clear. And it's authoritative. That means God gets the last word on stuff. When you live in the midst of a society that keeps reinventing morality or whatever, God gets the last word. Oh, and by the way, his opinion doesn't change. You know, there's no such thing as peer pressure with God. He has told us the truth in the Bible, and it's clear. And it is to be obeyed. And it's very interesting. You're going to go through times in your life when a verse, a statement from the Bible is going to come to your heart and head so quick, it's going to be astounding. And that is the Spirit of God saying, this is what you need to do. Here's the way. Walk in it. He's going to use the revelation. It's very important. The writer of Hebrews wrote, for the word of God is active, is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, that is, sharper than any scalpel you've ever seen. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. I tell you what, that's why the reading of the Bible is so important to every believer. Because the Bible tells us the absolute truth of God. And God will use what he says in the Bible and apply it to our lives. And we'll go, oh boy, you know, I'm off base on this. And God will help us and he will change us by his word. But the word of God, man, it just
highlight stuff in our lives. Myron and I were down in North Carolina this week at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center. So we flew down. You know, Myron hadn't flown in years. Myron doesn't like flying. And in fact, when we landed in Charlotte, it was soup. It was, you know, you couldn't see anything for most of the for the whole flight down, you couldn't see anything until we were about 8 feet off the runway. Okay, and if you weren't looking out the window, you had no idea. You could tell you were descending some, but also Myron was like five rows behind me, and all of a sudden the little plane went boom, and I heard him say, "What's that?" But what is interesting is going through airport security. You know, you go through airport security, and they do some stuff. They look in your luggage, in your baggage, right? It goes through, and there's some little lady there, and she's looking out, and she's looking at what's that? And they're, you know, if they see something suspicious that shouldn't be there, they open your bag and they pull it out of there, right? I went through. I emptied all my pockets. I did everything like I was supposed to. Took my belt and my shoes off. Myron didn't have to take his shoes off because he is over 75. Did you know that? That's right. That's right. There's one good thing about being old, he said. Anyhow, so I go in, you know, and you do the thing, and they scan you, and the agent said, come here, what's in your pocket? I said, nothing, sir, I emptied it. No, there's something, and I reached in, and there was one little stick of gum in a foil, and they said, oh, nothing in your pocket, huh? I said, come on, you know, and I put it in my mouth and started chewing it and rolled it away, and he got rid of it. Anyhow, you know, they see that stuff and they say, hey, what about God's word does that in our lives. It's like the x-ray machine of our lives. You know what I mean? Oh man, there it is. That's not supposed to be in your luggage. Get that out of here. Okay? The Lord is involved in that. He uses his revelation. The second thing that just really strikes me is that not only does he use his revelation, but he's resourceful. Do you know God, when it says here, be thankful in all circumstances? Why? Oh, you're not gonna like this. I'm about to tell you something you're not gonna enjoy very much. God gives us circumstances to help change us. He is so resourceful, he uses every situation we're going through to help us, to change us. You know, they say you never know what's in a cup until somebody bumps it. Oh, there it is, it's coffee, right? Boy, we get bumped and what's really on the inside of us comes out, right? I mean, oh man, I'm telling you. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit when he promised the apostles that after his departure, the Holy Spirit would come, another comforter, one of the same kind, God, the third person of the Trinity, that when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. There's nothing more dangerous than try to find a spirit guide for yourself in this world. I talk to Christians that want to talk to some dead relative, and they'll go to a fortune teller or a spirit guide. I'm telling you what, right now, run for your life. It's the ultimate deception. It's the work of Satan in your life that you're opening your heart to. Don't do it. There's one who is your guide, and it's the Holy Spirit. In fact, it says he leads the way. That's what the guide means. He leads the way for us. He is leading you through these dark valleys right now. And I know it's hard, but I want you to know he's doing something significant in your life. Nothing is wasted with him. Nothing is wasted. There's just stuff in our life that's destructive and hurtful, and he loves us so much, he doesn't want that to stay. And so he'll do whatever it takes in our lives. You know, we've got weight laws on our roads, right? Trucks can only weigh so much. They can only have so much of a load in them. Well, for two reasons. First of all, it destroys the trucks. They're not made for that kind of load. And second of all, it destroys the road that the trucks are rolling on. You know, we have stuff in our lives that hurts us personally and destroys our path, the road we're on. And God loves you so much that he is involved in allowing certain difficult circumstances into your life to help you see that. You know, they're not necessarily pleasant, but God is doing a great job. He helps us see it, and he helps us to ask him for his help. I love it. Pauline, one of the grandkids, wrote about Pauline Campbell. I love my grandma. She was great. And they talked about how good she was as a video gamer, by the way. She was like pinball wizard, I guess. Okay, it was like, whoo! She was really good. She could beat all the grandsons with all that stuff. But one of the grandsons said, Grandma had me flush my bad attitude down the toilet. Come here, come here. Get your bad attitude. Put it in the toilet. Because there it goes. We're done with that, right? I love that. I think the Lord takes us to the toilet sometimes too and says, okay, put that in there. It's out of here. You understand? I mean, the Lord is, he uses his revelation. He's really resourceful in that he doesn't waste anything. And then one more thing and I'll be done. And it's this. You won't like this one either. I'm sorry, but well, not really, because it's true. Not only does he use his revelation, not only is he so resourceful, but one more thing. He is relentless. He is not going to let you go. To me, it is just so good. In verse 24, the one who calls you is faithful. He will do it. Okay? He'll never give up on you. He will not leave you. You have not failed him so big that he's going to walk away and say, forget it, he or she, they're just not worth it. I'm tired of this. God will never do that. God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're struggling with. He knows how many years you coped by using that. And he's going to bring you along and help you. It's amazing how the Lord works everything out. So we're down at the Cove, and Myra and I are waiting in line. And these folks turn around and they see our tags and they go, oh, Michiganders. Oh, so glad. Oh, so glad to find. We meet people from all over, but not. And I said, well, you guys are from Michigan too. Where are you from? They said, Benton Harbor. I said, really? Do you know Roger and Pauline Campbell? And there was this movement of them. The one guy, he said, Roger Campbell was my pastor when I was a little boy. He was a mentor to me. And the other guy says, I pastor the church Roger started there. And then I told them that Pauline had passed away and they were all emotional about it. And I mean, it was really something. But on the way back, we drove up from Asheville up to Charlotte. And that's a beautiful drive in the mountains. And we went up early so that we could go to Billy Graham Library Museum. Pastor Gall hadn't been there, so we went. There was something cool. You know, Ruth Graham, and by the way, they're not like the Pope or anything, okay? I mean, you know, they're just Christian people that, and you know, you're supposed to not have any heroes until they're dead, because that way they don't, you know, when they're dead, you make sure they didn't mess up before you make them a hero, right? Billy's 99. I don't think he's going to mess up too bad. Ruth is buried there. Her grave is there. And after we'd gone through the library, we went back to her grave. Debbie and I had been back to her grave there too. And on her gravestone, this is an epitaph that she wanted put. They didn't want to put it, but she insisted, and so they put this. And at the end of her life, when it was all over and they buried her there in the garden, and they placed this slab of rough-cut granite over her grave with her name and the years, there's this quote, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. Don't you love that? End of construction. Thank you for your patience. That is exactly what God is doing in all of our lives. He who called you is faithful, and he's going to do this. So just listen. He's going to use his revelation. He's going to be so resourceful, and he is going to be relentless. He's going to get us home. Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Come on. Lord, you have so much work to do in my life. That consumes me pretty much. And Lord, I know that it's also true that you have work to do in all my friends' lives here too. May we not be discouraged or despondent, but may we also not be complacent and not be active in seeking you. Lord, we thank you that this whole question of being forgiven and being made yours happened at the cross when you died for us. And we know, Jesus, that you then set in motion this work in all of our lives who have believed in you to change us in not just that in the court of heaven we are made right, but that we are practically made right day by day as you make us better. Lord, you know the struggle. We give all this to you, but Lord, we don't give up on it. We may be discouraged with ourselves, but you are never discouraged. You are not one who gives up. You are faithful and you're going to do this. So help us. Lord, we know the problem isn't that we don't have enough of you. It's that you don't have all of us. And so we open all the doors and windows of our life to you, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of it. Lord, I ask that you would deal with us, that you would do a great work in this coming year within our congregation, within who we are. and continue your transformation of us. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you that we are in the hand of the Father and you are in your grip, Lord, and no one can remove us from that. So we rest in that and thank you for your gentleness and your kindness as you deal with these things in our lives. Ask for your blessing on your people in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.